This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods back together here in the studio for a short time. Travelgeddon continues. It's coming. I'm sorry. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports. I know you guys love numbers out there, so I did a little math this morning between our trip to Philadelphia and then my trip to Manchester, England, which I got back yesterday at about 2:30. They did lose my baggage, so I'm still waiting and tracking that. I haven't found it yet. And then I'm leaving on Monday for Hawaii for our family vacation. I will be taking the radio equipment. I will be doing shows from Hawaii at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll be getting up to service you all, and I don't want to leave you guys in the lurch again. But between all of those three,
Maui's concierge.
No, it's a Kauai's concierge. Yeah, I have totaled the. Do you want to hear the grand total for the month of July?
Mileage
on my ass on my ass on a plane.
Are you counting like Philly there
to and
from. Back?
Yeah, okay. to and from.
I'm gonna guess 3,500 miles.
Paulie.
Oh, no. We're definitely over 20,000.
That's probably one way.
We are at 20. By the time I get back from Hawaii, it'll be 21,402 miles flown in the month of July. To fly around the world is 24,000 miles.
You're almost there.
I'm almost there.
One more flight. One more trip.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
Oh, yeah. 5,010.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. So, good God.
We talked about this yesterday, and...
Yeah, I heard you took some shots at me.
I didn't take shots. Both of us do feel like you deserve time off. You deserve time with your family. And we feel a little bad about you taking the equipment with you and having to get up so early.
I don't mind.
On your vacation. But ultimately, I admitted that after being gone to London and then to jump again and just be gone for another 8 days,
I would
start getting kind of resentful.
As you should.
Of you being gone that long.
I would have slit your throat. I would have slit your throat had you done that to me. So that's exactly why I thought, yeah, I got no problem. And listen, when we go to Kauai for vacation as a family, buddy, it is the most relaxing. I will be done at Kauai time at 7 a.m., I think. I think that's right, 7 a.m. I can go back to bed till 10, get up, have the whole day ahead of me.
Because I'm an island boy,
yep.
And I've been trying to...
And I'm going to be hanging with my kids.
You don't really have to go to bed that much earlier to get up, because you already go to bed early.
Yeah.
And you already get up really, really early.
Yeah, it's not going to be a problem for me at all. My biggest fear is that the equipment is not great, and I'm going to try my best to make sure it's all good, find the right spot. Paulie's going to be, I'm sure, walking me through a lot next week while I'm gone, as he always does. Couple of things. So if you missed the Open today... You need to go back and listen, 6 a.m. I told you guys about my friend Aussie Tony, who I met, who is going to be a friend for life, I'm pretty sure. I sent him the segment.
The pit boss from Melbourne who you met at the Oasis concert.
He's unbelievable. He's a legend. So he wrote me this morning on WhatsApp. I sent him the link, and I said, go and listen to from the beginning. Told the whole story. And he wrote, he goes, oh, my God, you are an effing star, mate. Jesus, thank you for the kind words. You are bloody hilarious. And I said, you're the best, dude. He goes, I feel really lucky to have met you. This is the start of a lifelong friendship, bud. Strap in. I said, me too. He goes, also, you're messing with my reputation. I drank 20 beers, not 14. My mates will think I've gone soft when I share this. So he said... He goes, I just got offered to take a poker school at the time of the L.A. shows when Oasis is playing in L.A. And I said, no way. He goes, I politely declined. I'll be coming to San Diego and L.A.,
yeah.
My man. So we're going to all get to meet Aussie Tony. He's a legend. He's unbelievable, dude. So getting a chance to go over there and meet a guy that we loved each other, dude. We had the best time. And so hopefully he'll come over. Now, I wanted to talk. I know, you know. You were very interested in the food. You were interested in the food on the plane. You were interested in the food in England. I was worried about the food over in England. And I think my concerns were validated by the time I got over there. The food on the plane, it's plain food. But it was good. It was good. You know, it was my 50th birthday. I was going to go all out. I sat first class on British Airways. They really take care of you. The service was fantastic. Being able to lay, you know. Could I make up your bed for you? You absolutely can make up my bed for me right now. Absolutely, no question. Had some sea bass on the way out. It's pretty good. Had some prawns on the way out. It's okay. Desserts were fantastic. Then I got to England, And I mostly just drank Guinness for the first 24 hours. That's pretty much all I did. Didn't eat anything till the next day. I went to get breakfast. And I texted you guys a picture of the breakfast. Bro, it was...
I couldn't really tell what it even was.
It was
until you told us.
I simply ordered a coffee, eggs on toast, and yogurt and berries, okay? I got the eggs on toast. They were runny as could be. The scrambled eggs, they were almost like liquid. So that was repugnant. The berries was like, or the yogurt and berries was like they took some milk and poured it in and then just sprinkled berries in it. It was hideous. I barely ate anything. I pretty much ate steak at every meal.
And I steak mean, and Guinness.
Steak and Guinness. Every meal.
Steak and ale.
Steak and ale. But I, you know, you go over and you notice the differences, right? Also, lunch. It was not a thing. Like, I don't think I ever had lunch when I was over there. You do breakfast, and then you do dinner. And I found a place where I got steak and eggs, so I just ate that. And then I found a place at night where I could eat steak, and I got steak and fries, and it was really good and delicious. Lots of protein. But then you walk around, you go into the stores, and you look around at the difference in their candy and the difference in their chips, as they call crisps. And so, yeah, Paulie just posted a picture. It looks like diarrhea. It looks like yellow diarrhea. On
it's a slightly undercooked egg.
Slightly.
I mean, if it's a quality egg, you don't want to overcook it and nuke it. That's the yogurt.
Ugh. Look at the yogurt.
Yeah, it's a very watery looking yogurt.
It looks like milk.
And they spell it with an H as well.
Yes.
It's yogurt.
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 So what I did is I thought it would be fun to come back. Here, you should put your hat on that I got you for your trip to one of your many presents. I brought you more presents. You brought Ben a bucket hat that has the C word all over it. And on top, one big C word. There you go. And I want to do this. All right. So I'm going to give you a crisp. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. They had funkier flavors, but I didn't go crazy. I'm not trying to kill you here. I just wanted to see if your palate is sophisticated enough to name the flavor of potentially some of their crisps that they have.
Should be wearing the GIMP mask for this.
Are chips. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Right,
so
what would you guess that flavor is? Don't smell it. Just eat it. Give me a 1 to 10 also.
I'm going to go 4.
Okay, 4.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Not great. It does have a familiar taste to it.
Uh-huh.
Does it?
Like a Worcestershire sauce or something?
Yeah, it's flame-grilled steak.
Steak.
There's
definitely a meatiness to it. Yeah.
All right.
Toss me a flame grilled steak.
Yeah, try
chip.
This.
I got to try it.
Okay. I will not try it.
Flame grilled steak.
Yep, that's one of the
was
types.
It, was
of
it crisps. Vegetarian or was there actually meat in it?
It could be meat in it. Cleanse your palate with a little sip of water there, a little eco water for you. No good.
I just smelled one. I was like, I don't know.
All right, then try this. This is a Walkers. Like their versions of Lay's.
No, these are a little more thin crisps.
Thin. One to ten.
Like a 6.
Okay. Like these a little bit better?
Like a little fruitier in some way.
Definitely not fruity.
No?
Is your, you ready? You want to give a guess?
Huh. Not fruity. Maybe like a, No, I've got no idea on that one.
Cheese and onion.
Cheese.
Oh. Yes,
well, cheese. I mean, you know,
we have sour cream and cheddar.
Stuff. Yeah, that was actually fairly normal.
Right, and then the last one here.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
This is another McCoy's thick.
This is more of a ruffle type pit chip.
Try that.
Yeah. Two. Ketchup?
No.
1 to 10.
2. 2. This is a sizzling king prawn. Shrimp chips.
Oh, I'm going to throw up.
Nasty, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That was bad.
Ben eats crisps live on Ben and Woods this morning. These are yours. I bought these for you, so you can take them home and do whatever you want with
prawn
them.
Prawn is not...
Prawn's not your favorite.
Not a big fan of prawn-flavored chips.
They have a lot of there's a lot of like KFCs over there, Popeyes. They have a lot of that. I didn't eat any fast food when I was there.
Good. Did you have any fish and chips?
No.
Like an act, you didn't ever get fish and chips.
No.
They actually do it quite well over there.
No, I had them in London. I was not a fan, so I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't eat them this time.
The one time I went, I had fish and chips. I thought it was great.
The food wasn't great. It wasn't great. The steak was good. It was steak and béarnaise. And I got fries with everything, and it was fine. Like, you can absolutely survive on that. The Guinness was outstanding. It was better than it is here. It was outstanding. And you could tell the difference. I went to one place where it was really good. Then I went to the other place where they don't use the right taps and the right lines, and it tasted like metal. And you go back to the other place and go, I'll take one of yours because it tastes like a milkshake. And I'll tell you, they go down real smooth.
Did you take advantage of the 100-pound gift certificate that I got you at your hotel?
I did.
Was that the bad eggs and yogurt?
No. I took Craig to dinner.
Well, good.
That day. And I had, that's why I used it for breakfast.
Okay.
I used it for breakfast and had coffee with Tony, Aussie Tony, with your gift card. So thank you for that. I also got some dessert late night at the hotel. Had the sticky toffee pudding, which was unbelievable. Oh, the desserts were fantastic. But yeah, other than that, man, it's kind of tough sledding over there.
Shrimp chip is not going down very well.
I bet not.
Yeah.
I bet not. I want to save that one for last. Which one of the three you like the best? The cheese and onion?
Yeah, the cheese and onion was
honestly, it was
best,
like the names of them I couldn't even eat.
I mean, it's close to sour cream and onion. It's close to cheddar and sour cream. I mean, that's not bad. That was the best one.
Okay. Well, these are yours. You take them home.
Thank you.
Give them to your kids or do whatever you want with them. But that hat on you is just...
Oh, yeah.
I'm very conflicted right now because I don't want you to take the hat off, but I can't really look at you or take you seriously with it on.
I don't even know if it's legal for him to have it on.
I don't know.
Legal.
That's how I feel.
It's certainly in poor taste. I know that.
David said, please tell us you did not have a full English breakfast. Absolutely not.
Beans
absolutely
on toast?
Not. I'm not. Look.
Black pudding?
I am not adventurous. I am adventurous, but not when it comes to food.
Tomatoes? They just like grill up some tomatoes.
Yeah, they put tomatoes on everything.
Make you eat them for breakfast.
Yeah, it was very odd. But the steak was fantastic. And that's how I survived.
And did you have beef Wellington?
I did, on the way home. Made me a little gassy, I'm not going to lie. Maybe you don't give people beef Wellington on a plane ride home. That had some kind of slimy green thing around it with mushrooms. I didn't really like
that. That's the duck cell of mushroom. It's a critical element to beef Wellington. It's the filet, and then you wrap it in the mushroom duck cell, and then the pastry crust around it, and that's how you make beef Wellington.
Yeah, Craig had a, they call them baps. It's like a breakfast sandwich, and his bap had a big sausage on it, like a big banger, and I think it was a little bit rough. Learned about, like, Paulie is a shoe hound, right? He loves shoes. Over there, they call them crepes.
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 They have a store called Crepe Locker.
Crepe Locker.
Crepe Locker. Like, they'll say, oh, fresh crepes. And that's what they call, I got new
like
shoes
Foot
too.
Foot Locker, but Crepe Locker.
I got new shoes too. These are my new crepes.
Crepes.
Yeah. Crepes. I thought it was great. I learned all kinds of slang when I was
What
over
do they
there.
Call crepes then?
I don't know. Crepes.
Shoes.
Crepes.
Shoes. Yeah,
sneakers.
So the little differences over there are outstanding. But, man, it was such a fun time. Thank you guys for covering for me, letting me go have a... Yeah, look, Crepes Locker.
That's amazing.
Crepes Locker.
Yeah, took a picture. Paulie is a huge, huge crepe fan.
I won some crepes earlier this morning.
Did you get some?
I did.
No, you got new crepes.
Got those white ones I showed you.
You got new crepes on the way. So, yeah, it was awesome, dude. Highly recommend. Manchester as a city, it's so...
And you saw the... so they got the two major football teams there, Man United and Man City.
Bro, imagine living in a city...
You were on the side more by... What is
by
it?
By City.
Etihad Stadium. The Etihad Stadium, where Manchester City plays. They got the light blue kits.
Got my two boys a Man City jersey. They loved it.
Was there
they
like a split,
so cool.
though? You could tell in the city, like divided between
so,
the two
were
teams?
Were there any soccer matches going no. on while you were there?
No, they're kind of off-season right now.
Okay. Yeah, but you, like... Noel Gallagher, you know, was like talking smack. He's like, Manchester's blue, and everyone, boo! You know, they don't mess around. They're City fans, but it was crazy. I saw the Soccer Hall of Fame over there when I was there.
Football,
Football, sorry,
right.
Football Hall of Fame, as they call it. But the little difference is the city is incredible. It's just an incredible, like, cool town.
Billie Eilish was also in Manchester having a huge tour as well.
She was there
the same night.
Yep, same time. It was nuts.
It's crazy.
It was
nuts.
And the whole city was, you would walk in a, you'd walk in a, like a department store, and there's blasting Oasis. The whole town.
Now, you didn't go over to Liverpool, which isn't that far away.
It is far. And so what we,
far enough.
What we figured out, we were going to go. We found out, man, it is not as easy to get around as we thought it would be. Like the trains and stuff, it was kind of a beating, and we just said, man, I don't really feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing it at all. So, but it was,
it's like an hour or two away toward the coast.
Yeah. It was not, it wasn't as easy as we thought it would be to get around, but we saw everything in town we wanted to see. And it was incredible. So thank you, boys.
All right. We have a game of Take on Woods coming up. If you'd like to play against the man, he is ready to take you on for a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas and tickets to Motley Crue, our musical trivia challenge. Coming up next, get online right now by calling 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. We'll get a contestant on the line. We'll play our game. And then Jesse Agler, the Incorporated, will join us at the bottom of the hour, all coming up after traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Perhaps if Ozzie Tony wants to ever move to San Diego and needs a job, he can look at 7 Mile Casino. It would be a great place to work.
He'd
right
crush
there.
It. He would absolutely crush it.
Easy to get to, right there off the 5 Freeway in Chula Vista. You wouldn't have to commute all the way out, you know, an hour or whatever daily to the other card rooms in town. And, I mean, you'd be there with the windows. I don't think you could find a better casino to work at than 7 Mile Casino.
No question. Certainly a great place to go sit down and play some California-style blackjack and Texas Hold'em, Pie Gal, all of it. Baccarat as well. They got great food, too. Speaking of food, oh, nice to be back in America where the food is really, really good. At least it's what I'm used to.
You haven't Jersey Mike's yet?
I have not. Okay. I did have a carne asada burrito right when I landed.
Yeah, you always have to get a burrito when we come back, don't
right,
we?
Right when I landed. But no, man, they do everything right at 7 Mile Casino. Best part, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Take care of the high limit players. They're spreading good action at 7 Mile Casino at all hours of the day. Dealers know what you're looking for when you go in. So please, if you haven't been there yet, make the short drive from downtown San Diego. Hop on the 5, west side of the 5, right there on San Diego Bay. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Glad you're back just in time for a Mike Schilt week. You can tune into the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday at 9 a.m. here on Ben & Woods. The Manager's Report, refreshed by Eco Water SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. Eco Water SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925.
Indeed.
Skipper should be. I mean, we're still a few days away, but if they continue to play the way they have, should be in a good mood on Friday.
Kiss of death right there.
True.
Ben Higgins.
They could win every game. Not be in good mood. You never know. With the skipper.
You literally never know.
It's usually the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Like whatever you think, it'll hit you with the opposite.
Yeah, hey, you guys playing well. Yeah, so what, boy?
4-game losing streak, you're like, oh, crap.
Oh,
and then
no.
He's like,
hey,
loose and having fun. You're like, what?
He's a very interesting study in psychology. Very interesting. They need like a whole team from Vienna, Austria, studying the psychology sometimes of Schilty.
All right, why don't we get to today's game? It is time to play some Take on Woods. Take on Woods brought to you by Bay Alarms, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and we got Brandon today. Hello, Brandon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fine. Brandon, we will have three categories for you. If you can beat or tie Woods, we'll put you into the drawing for our grand prize, a two-night stay at the Park MGM in Las Vegas, tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. All right, here we go. Three categories for you to choose from. Beat boxing. Still on the table, five song titles and musical artists, including the word beat. Mothers and fathers, five song titles that include either mother or father in the title. And today's new category is not on any map, five song titles with fictional places in them. So beatboxing, mothers and fathers, or not on any map. Brandon, what would you like to play?
Beatboxing is B-E-A-T, correct?
B-E-A-T, that is correct. All right, beatboxing, five song titles or musical artists, including the word beat. You'll have 60 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We can come back to it if there's time remaining. First question's the two-second song. Pauly, going to play you some music. You need to give me that song title and the artist to score the point. First you, then Woods. Compare scores. You know how it works. Brandon, are you ready to go?
I'm ready. Let's
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock, Pauly. Brandon, your time begins when we play the music. The category, beatboxing. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Michael Jackson, Beat It.
Correct. Written by Charlotte Caffey. Which 1980 single was used in the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High and became a signature hit? Which 1980s British all-gay synth-pop band broke through with their 1984 debut hit Small Town Boy?
English Beat?
Incorrect. The singer known as Ranking Roger added Jamaican flair to which late 70s and early 80s band with songs including I Confess and Save It For Later?
Pass.
Justin Bieber teamed with Nicki Minaj on which 2012 hit with a title that plays on a successful Disney movie?
Yeah.
Written by Charlotte Caffey, which song, a single from 1980, was used in the movie Ooh, we ran out of time. So English Beat was the fourth one, and you answered it for the third one. I was hoping you'd say it again. The third one, the all-gay synth-pop band, was the Bronski Beat. We Got the Beat, written by Charlotte Caffey, and Beauty and the Beat by Justin Bieber. Now, one is probably not good enough, Brandon, but it is a tricky category. Definitely one of the tougher ones today. Let's bring Woods back in, see how he fares.
Jet lag, buddy.
That's true.
I don't feel great.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Brandon.
I'll come back to it.
Written by Charlotte Caffey, which 1980 single was used in the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High and became a signature hit?
Pass.
Which 1980s British all-gay synth-pop band broke through with their 1984 debut hit Small Town Boy?
Oh my God. I have no idea.
The singer known as Ranking Roger added a Jamaican flair to which late 70s and early 80s band with songs including I Confess and Save It For Later.
English Beat.
Correct. Justin Bieber teamed with Nicki Minaj on which 2012 hit with a title that plays on a successful Disney movie.
I have no idea, but the first song is Beat It by Michael
Correct.
Jackson.
Correct. Written by Charlotte Caffey, which 1980 single was used...
We Got the Beat.
Correct. Which 1980s British all-gay synth-pop band broke through with their 1984 debut hit Small Town Boy.
Beaters.
You got the category, at least. Justin Bieber teamed with Nicki Minaj on which 2012 hit that plays on a successful Disney movie?
Beat My Tank.
You got three in a tough category today. Yeah. That is good enough for a 3-1 win. We've got the Bronski Beat and Beauty and the Beat by Justin Bieber. Tough one today.
Who wrote that? You didn't write that.
I wrote the whole category.
There is no
chance.
It's
called Beatboxing.
Okay.
Tough one today. They're not all easy. They're not all tough. They kind of mix them up a little bit.
Beauty and the Beat. I've never heard of that.
I had neither, but I needed a fifth one that had beat in it somewhere. Sometimes there's plenty of options. Sometimes I got to stretch a little bit to get that fifth song title.
Stretching
in
to find the
beat. I thought maybe the Disney movie, Beauty, Beat, Beast.
Right.
Then you might have come up with it that way. But no one did.
That intro for Beat It, I swear to God, I've heard it on 40 other songs. I thought that was Michael Jackson, so I'm glad I figured it out. Thank
Snuck
you,
it out. All right, let's get to a timeout, because when we come back, we will be joined by Miami's own Jesse Agler in Miami.
305.
A little incorporator as the Padres play later today. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bought quickly, gang. I wanted to tell you about Loan Pronto. If you're maxed out on credit cards, struggling with high interest debt, you could pay it all off in days with their Rapid Equity Loan. Get cash out now without touching your low-rate first mortgage. No appraisals, no waiting, no BS. The Rapid Equity Loan Program at Loan Pronto is incredible. One client just got $300,000 approved in under 24 hours, paid off all their debt, renovated their kitchen, cut their monthly expenses by $1,800. Pretty big turnaround for them. Instant approvals, low rates, no hard credit pull up front. That equity is yours. Use it, get cash out to consolidate your debt down to one easy, low monthly payment. Call them now for a free instant appraisal for your home. See how much cash you can get out today. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. 2,500 five-star Google reviews. Service incredible. Call now. Get the conversation started. 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. 619-207-4336. Get debt relief now at loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781, unapproved credit, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Padres continue their 10-game road trip later today with another 340 first pitch from Lone Depot Park in Miami. Sammy Levitt will have your pregame show at 240. Jesse and Tony will have your play-by-play at 340, but Jesse will join us with the Incorporator and to talk some Padres baseball from his hometown right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's been a couple of weeks since we chatted with Jesse Agler. Jesse, hope you enjoyed your All-Star break. I know some people went to the game in Atlanta. Xander went back to Aruba. Did you do anything fun and spectacular during your break?
Very low-key, which is kind of the way I like it. I would struggle if like they had an All-Star team of announcers and they said, all right, you got to go to Atlanta.
You made the game.
It would be an honor. Right, yeah, it would be an honor. You'd be thrilled to have the experience, but boy, do I need those 3.5 days to kind of recharge the battery. So, laid low, hung out with the kids, you know, that kind of stuff.
I believe it, man. And you would like it. Like the first time you got selected, you'd be like, holy cow, this is incredible. And then you realize I got to fly all the way across the country. I got no break, essentially. And then I got to go back and do this again. It's a grind. And then, you know, staring down a 10-game road trip right out of the break, Jesse. How's it been so far?
So far, so good. You know, I mean, they're winning baseball, and that obviously always makes it feel a little bit better. Tony and I have been calling it the hottest road trip, Washington, Miami, St. Louis, and it has certainly lived up to expectations weather-wise so far. But look, you go into D.C., you take 2 out of 3, you come down here. You know, this Marlins team, I'm sure you guys have been talking about it the last couple of days, like they're sneaky decent. You know, they're not a deplorable team by any stretch of the imagination, and you saw some of the toughness last night. Stowers has been unbelievable, kind of a great story and nice for us on the local angle. But, you know, I mean, the close game thing doesn't seem like it's going to stop anytime soon. And it's interesting because I think for me, last night was something of a mental turning point because I'll be honest, and you've probably caught on to this if you've listened to Tony and I enough over the course of the season, but like I've not been thrilled with the amount of tight, low scoring games they've played from a sense of they got to be better than that. And yeah. I think they are better than that. But yesterday, I think I was just like, you know what? It's kind of who they are. And I'm going to give them a break, at least until the trade deadline. And when we get to the trade deadline, we'll kind of see what happens. I expect, you know, some pretty good, you know, decent-sized moves out of AJ, although you can never guarantee that sort of thing. And I think, like, in my head last night, I was like, you know what? They just keep winning them. I need to chill out on this. Is it ideal? No. Does it have its dangers? Absolutely. Poor Jason Adams' arm is going to fall off at some point if this continues. But, you know, for now, it's like, all right, you know, just keep winning. That's what matters. They're back to 10 games over 500. You know, for all the talk about the great start and the treading water ever since, which has kind of been the storyline fairly to some extent, you know, they're 2 games off their best pace of the season right now. They've never been more than 12 games above 500, and they're currently at 10. So, you know, we'll see how the rest of this road trip goes. As you said, it's a grind with the weather and the three cities right out of the break. No off days. Come home, play the Mets for the first time this year, and then you get, you know, the off day next Thursday to kind of reset a little bit. But, you know, I think and that's the trade deadline, by the way. I think, you know, for me, for now, it's kind of like, all right, let's let this thing ride, and, you know, we'll see where we are in a week and a half.
Jesse, you probably didn't see it because you were calling the game on radio, but Bob Scanlon did a little segment where he showed Manny an old picture of him in high school, and they brought up that Manny went to Brito Miami Private Schools, just 3.5 miles away from Lone Depot Park. So it's a homecoming for Manny, but it's also a homecoming for Jesse Agler from Miami. What kind of nostalgia hits you when you go back to Miami? Is it a certain food that you need to get every time? What is it about, you know, Miami that hits when you go home?
It's so funny. The first, you know, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years that I worked for the Padres, I felt it every time, you know, we came here. And I really don't feel it that much anymore. You know, there's familiarity, obviously. I got, you know, to see some people at the game last night I haven't seen in a long time. That was kind of exciting. In fact, Ben, your counterpart at the ABC affiliate here in Miami, Will Manso, who I've known for 25 years at this point, you know, I hadn't seen him in a decade. And So, like, you know, just seeing him at the ballpark yesterday was nice, and catching up with, you know, some of the people I know from around town. This is a little bit of a diversion, but there's this wonderful man. His name is Massimo Marianella. He is basically the Al Michaels of Italy.
Nice.
He calls all the big sporting events in Italy for Sky Italia. And he's, I got introduced to him. He's got a place in Miami. He comes here in the summer. And I got introduced to him, I don't know, 20 years ago at this point. He's a huge baseball fan. For whatever reason, he's a huge baseball fan. And I hadn't seen him in I don't know how long. And we bumped into each other in the press box last night. So that was, like, thrilling and exciting. You know, we caught up for 30 minutes, and it was like, you know, it was one of those heartwarming things of getting to see him. But coming back here doesn't really feel like coming back home anymore. When I get off the plane in San Diego after a long road trip, that feels like coming home. I mean, it's pretty neat that that's happened. I mean, both my kids were born in San Diego, and you know, I'm so lucky to be in a place that that feels like home and is so great to make a home. And that's kind of where it's at. So, yeah, I mean, the nostalgia has really kind of faded all the way away over the years. Like I said, those human relationships are nice, and seeing those people, you know, who I haven't seen maybe in a long time is always special. But, you know, outside of that, that's kind of all that it is at this point. I've been with the Padres now 12 seasons.
It's crazy. I feel the exact same way, and I felt the same way when I landed yesterday. And after they lost my luggage, I went to my car and got in my car, paid the $7,000 it cost to park, and then I put on 97.3 The Fan, and it was right when the game was starting. Heard Tony do the lineups. You start calling the game, and I'm driving home in 55 minutes of traffic from the airport, but I would have never been happier to be home knowing, you know, yeah, going to go see my family right now. I got Jesse and Tony on the radio, and you guys were talking about, I loved this, you were talking about Jose Iglesias and how the strategically they're using him, and they said, you know, you said, you know, we talk about it all the time, how smart they are and how smart they're being, getting guys off their feet. Rehash for us kind of what you said yesterday when you were talking about Iglesias and how valuable he is.
Yeah, so, you know, I think what we saw with the Mets last year with Iglesias was, you know, they were ultra strategic with how they used him in terms of when he would get a start. You know, they basically only used him against left-handed pitching. And from what I understand, you know, certain types of left-handed pitching. And he played 85 games for the Mets last year. And he hit .337. Now, he's not at that level for the Padres this year, but he's playing way more often. Part of that, of course, was necessity with some injury stuff earlier in the year. But, you know, right now, you know, it's like we're in this stretch. It's hot out. You're into the second half. You're trying to kind of ease everybody back into it. Xander had a DH day. Iglesias started at short. Manny had a DH day. Iglesias started at third. Last night, Cronenworth, first time this year, DH day. Iglesias started at second base. So he's, you know, this wonderfully perfect fit anywhere you want to put him. Remember, he got to start in left field, for goodness sake, yeah, earlier this year. But on the infield in particular, you know, he's a perfect piece because he can play all those positions expertly. And especially if you kind of work it where you get the pitching matchup that you like, you know, he's able to go out there and contribute. You know, beyond that, he's a guy, and it's a lot like Manny, where the baseball IQ is off the charts.
Yep.
And, you know, he's just one of these guys. He knows exactly what is required of him. Every single plate appearance, every ball that's hit to him on the infield, he knows exactly what to do. And he's able to do things physically that most guys in this league cannot. It's pretty remarkable at 35 years old. I mean, remember, this guy made his big league debut all the way back in 2011 with the Red Sox. He was in El Paso 2 years ago at AAA with the Padres, didn't sniff the big leagues in 2023, and then had that kind of resurgent year with the Mets last year, and now kind of putting it all back together again this season with the Padres. It's a great story. He's a great piece. And I think, you know, the place Tony and I kind of landed in that conversation last night was, you know, championship caliber teams have guys like Jose Iglesias on the roster. He's a perfect piece for a team that's, you know, trying to win it all.
You had a really great call of Martin Maldonado's RBI double that scored Jackson Merrill from first base. Yeah, talking about him running right through Tim Leaper's stop sign on his way home. What was your thoughts on that play? There was a lot of discussion about it, about Tim Leaper, about Jackson not following his coaches and using his own instincts. And then Mike Schilt talked about it after the game as well.
Anybody who's upset about it has never gotten out of high school baseball. That's what I'll say. You know, I mean, it's the major leagues. It's the major leagues. And, you know, this team in particular, Mike Schilt has 1,000 times the last 2 years talked about, you know, A, they want to be aggressive, and B, he wants guys in control of their own destinies. And look, it's not always going to work. If Jackson gets thrown out there, it's a bad look. I get that. But you're never going to be upset about if the play is in front of him. And it was. When Merrill hit second base last night, he's looking into the left field corner. He sees where Kyle Stowers is. He sees where the ball is. Now, the Marlins nearly pulled it off because Stowers got to it really quickly, made a great fast throw to Lopez, the shortstop. And Lopez, it was like the slightest little hitch. I don't even know if you could call it a hesitation before firing home. If he doesn't have that hitch, is Jackson Merrill out? Possibly. And then it's, you know, it's a different story last night. But you're forcing the defense to make a perfect play. And how many times are guys going to make a perfect play? What percent of the time in the big leagues? I don't know, 80, 70, whatever it is, you're rolling the dice. It's also early in the game, you know, and it's like, all right, let's do this. And Jackson understands himself. He understands the game. He had the ability to see it. Did Tim Leeper in a vacuum make the right choice? I think so, absolutely. Like, yes. If you go back and you watch from above,
yeah,
like that's what you want your third base coach doing. But you also want one of your fastest guys, you know, who's got the play in front of him and who can see it, to say, you know what, this is what we've been coached to do. This is what we've been asked to do. This is what we've been taught to do, to make these decisions. And, you know, it's one of those, it's kind of silly, but it's like, hey, if he's safe, everybody's happy. It's the football or the baseball version of the football play where it's like the quarterback scrambling around and then he throws across his body and the coach is going, no, yes.
Yes.
You know, when the pass is completed. But, you know, that's what they're asking guys to do. And again, you're not asking Martin Maldonado to do that. You're asking Jackson Merrill to do that. You're asking Fernando Tatis Jr. to do that. Go back to when Fernando scored on that wild pitch that never got more than 5 feet away from home plate to win a game. You know, that's another great example of that. No third base coach in the world in that situation would be like, go. But they've asked these guys, and in particular the fast guys, to kind of take their destiny into their own hands. And when you have a roster like this, you can do that.
Before we get to the incorporator, did Woods miss this as well? Because I think it was after he was gone. They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
I saw this at the All-Star game.
Jesse, did you catch this? That Dave Roberts tried to play the incorporator at the All-Star game during his post-game news conference. He was given
two words.
His words were,
one was two words that they want me to work into a press conference. Actual press conference. So I'm going to work them in. Sweet potato and starfish.
And then obviously Eugenio got hit in the hand, so I had to replace him with my starfish.
What?
Kyle Stowers.
That's not
and
how you do
your favorite takeaway from this weekend?
It's terrible.
So when I come to Atlanta, I got this restaurant that I get my favorite sweet potato.
That's terrible.
Jesse, you need to give him pointers next time you see him. It just was not good.
It was something.
He could have said, I showed my starfish to Ice Cube in the celebration when we won the World Series, because he actually
I do appreciate that, like, Stowers is a star and a fish. I think it's
fair.
A stretch, but I sort of like where he was going with that one. Yeah, he's a Marlin and a star. But that's, you know, like you said, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. So Dave Roberts obviously is a tier one.
Obviously.
I'm sure he's taken a lot of pointers from you guys over the years.
Yes.
And maybe that's how they were able to shut out the Padres for the last 2.5 games in the division series. They got some insight from listening to Ben and Woods.
I
think he used to be a tier one. I'm not so sure anymore, Jesse, if he still listens as regularly as he once did.
I'm sure it gets back to
him. All right, so let's give him this word because it's inspired by Woods' visit to Manchester, England. We're throwing a little British slang at you today, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse, I learned...
Champagne supernova.
Yes, like please it. Do it. It's a word for sneakers, and it's crepes. And I learned it, and I said, that's fantastic.
Ooh, I like that. It was a British accent there.
Where crepes.
Did you find her?
Crepes. It just means shoes. Trainers, they call them trainers. So it's crepes. Work that in.
Different from crepes.
Yeah,
no, not
yeah,
crepes.
Not crepes. Crepes.
Not the thin pancake, but rather the footwear.
Yeah, what shows they have a store called Crep Locker?
Creps Locker.
Creps Locker, yeah. Creps Locker.
That's fantastic.
Foot Locker, where they get your shoes.
Also, I need a favor from you. Do you know Kevin Brown from the Orioles, yeah?
Yeah.
I need you to put in a good word. He is also a massive Oasis fan. And if we reach out and ask him to come on our show, I want to talk Oasis with him. If he asks you to vouch, just vouch for us that we're good guys.
I mean, yeah.
Yes, okay. Thank you. All right, good.
He's I think he's on the mend right now.
Is
Kevin
he?
Brown, yeah.
He got in an accident.
Yeah. Did he?
He was in a hunting accident, and he fell from a deer blind. He's fine. He's going to be okay.
Oh my God.
He's returning, I think, in like a week to the broadcast.
He's had a bumpy couple of years.
Yeah, he has had a bumpy couple of years. I like that guy a lot, and now that
he's a really, really, really good guy.
Oh,
you'll have a good time talking to him. But yeah, give him a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Jesse,
Krebs.
But you can't just go Krebs meaning shoes. Like, just use it as
Krebs.
Like
don't tell him. He's not Dave Roberts. He knows what he's doing.
As if everyone says it every day.
Yeah, that's kind preps. Of
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesse.
I'm also going to call Sours a starfish.
Please.
Oh, yes. Yes. Need that. Great.
All right, Jesse. We'll see you back in town next week.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Jesse Agler, the Incorporator.
So good.
The goat.
The best. Yeah, you don't need to give him any
Kevin comments. Brown fell out of a deer blind. That happened to a Padres pitcher in the 2000s, Carlton Lower.
Really?
Yeah, he missed the second half of the season after he fell out, I think, at the All-Star break. Bad.
Wow.
He was good, too. Incredible. Unfortunate. All right, we'll come back. Final hour, Rondle Report, and more on the way here on 97.3 The Fan.